the 1450 WHTC and WHTC.com newsroom, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. I'm Gary Stevens. This news is brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. Clouds give way to sunshine this afternoon, and we'll have unseasonably warm temperatures for early part of September. A look at Holland's hometown forecast, WHTC.com, follows this news. A body was found north of Jennison yesterday afternoon, but not much is being disclosed about the matter right now. According to Ottawa County Sheriff Sergeant Robert Tease, a local man was looking for a hunting location in the Bend area near 12th Avenue and Riverview Drive around 4:30 p.m.
The area resident came across some human remains and immediately contacted the sheriff's office. The matter does remain under investigation at this time, and additional details will be released within the coming days.
An autopsy is slated today at Spectrum Lodge and Hospital in Grand Rapids as part of that investigation. It's the first day on the job today for Christopher Shires, as he assumes his new duties as the Holland Museum's executive director. He was named a month ago by the Holland Historical Trust Board and comes west from suburban Detroit, where he had been director of interpretation and programs for the past 4 years at the Edsel and Eleanor Ford House. Shires takes over for two interim directors who have handled overseeing operations at the museum since Thea Grigsby was sacked 2 years ago. Two long-standing issues are before Saugatuck City Council members during tonight's biweekly business meeting. One is a matter that communities across the state have been dealing with, as Saugatuck's leaders are expected to pass an ordinance amendment that would bring that community's fireworks code in line with new state law that was enacted just before Independence Day. The regulations restrict use of these low-level explosives to certain times in certain days surrounding 10 federal holidays in an effort to cut down on noise issues since fireworks laws were relaxed in Michigan last year. The other matter involves municipal merging, as the city councils of both Saugatuck and Douglas have received letters from Bobby Gaunt and the Consolidated Government Committee questioning whether they could meet the financial demands of needed infrastructure improvements should a November 5th ballot initiative mandating the union of these two cities into a single governmental unit not pass.
There are real challenges that our community is facing, and based on the response or lack of response from the current city governments, basically there is no plan in place to really address those issues.
Matt Palmer of the opposing group Citizens for Independent and Cooperative Communities dispute the CGC's claims.
We've been dealing with infrastructure problems as they arise in this budget workshop. We don't have any problems here that we can't fix or been working on.
Gaunt says that the volume of evidence indicates that a merger would lead to taxpayer savings.
The CRC study was the fifth study over about 10 years that's been done, and all the numbers come back the same. A minimum of $500,000 in savings a year.
Ballmer disputes these findings and says that a lot is riding on this vote.
I think this is one they thought would be, well, they only have to combine a few more services here to make this one go through, and then maybe we'll be the poster child for them. And, I do think that's kind of the look from things.
Both councils are opposed to consolidation, preferring to have cooperative services by separate entities. In just a few weeks, many aspects of the Federal Affordable Care Act will take effect.
State Representative Kevin Daly of Lum says that sales of the Donate Life license plate have resulted in $45,000 being collected to promote organ and tissue donation in Michigan.
Let people understand how important it is to sign up to be an organ donor. That's the idea behind it. Get that little heart on your license plate so that when you pass away, no matter what the reason is, your organs are going to go to help another person and another family.
The Donate Life license plates have been available in the state since 2012. Andrew Green reporting.
Michigan's delegation to the U.S. House are wary going into today's scheduled classified briefings by White House and Pentagon officials about the situation in Syria. Zealand's Bill Heisinger says that the U.S. can't go in alone on attacking that Middle Eastern nation over alleged chemical warfare.
We have to have a consensus among the world that something needs to be done.
Fred Upton of St. Joseph has his doubts.
I'm not convinced this is the right approach to take us and where it's going to lead, but I'm going to keep my powder dry until after I do a classified briefing.
Justin Amash of Grand Rapids hasn't seen proof to change his mind.
The evidence is not as strong as the public statements that the president and his administration have been making.
Howell's Mike Rogers, chair of the House Intelligence Committee, understands his colleagues' reluctance.
You have a reluctant commander-in-chief who's trying to come to the American people and say, I'm going to do something, but I'm not going to do a lot. I'm not sure exactly what we're trying to do. I mean, that's what American people are hearing.
Amash and Rogers made their remarks during yesterday's Face the Nation program on CBS TV. And their sentiments echo those of some of their constituents.
Right now, the polls are running against taking action. This Michigan woman feels it'll just make a bad situation worse.
To add to the devastation and the suffering of the Syrian people.
But at a weekend rally in Michigan, this man spoke out in favor of a strike.
Does Assad continue to gas people to death and destabilize the region, or are we going to take some kind of proactive action?
While Congress has to make the decision, public opinion could well carry the day, and that's why the president is trying to convince both Congress and the public that a strike is the right thing to do. Jim Whelan, WHTC News.
The governor is trying to convince the Far East that the bankruptcy of the state's largest city is a good thing. On a 10-day excursion aimed at strengthening Michigan's economic ties to China and Japan, the governor felt he had to be proactive right from the time he got off the plane in Shanghai about the Detroit financial situation.
There are a lot of misconceptions about what bankruptcy means in Asian society. So I addressed proactively the good things going on in Michigan about how the bankruptcy is a good thing in terms of really positioning Detroit to continue the comeback that's underway there. You know, we're solving 60 years of problems, and there are many great things already going on in Detroit.
Back home, murmurs swirled around Lansing that Mr. Snyder would eschew a re-election bid and become the new president of the University of Michigan. But that's something he categorically denies.
I love the University of Michigan. Everybody knows that. But I'm honored being governor of the state of Michigan, and I'm quite active on that front. So I intend to stay focused on this job.
The governor is expected to announce his reelection plans when he returns with a contingent of business and government leaders back to Michigan by the end of the week. More than 13% of Michiganders say they have had times in the past year when they didn't know where or when their next meal would be coming from.
The annual USDA Household Food Security Report shows that Michigan residents are somewhat less likely to have problems affording food than the rest of the country. Terry Stengel, executive director for the Center for Civil Justice, says Michigan has seen a sharper increase in food assistance than other states.
So our trend has been for it to increase a little bit more, but that's not surprising given the high levels of unemployment and insecure employment in the state.
Republicans in Congress are expected to introduce a bill that would strip $40 billion in funding from SNAP, which could throw millions of people out of the program. A national survey shows 7 in 10 voters don't support cuts to food stamps as a way to reduce government spending. I'm Rob South.
Food stamps are apparently at the crux of the farm bill debate on Capitol Hill. And after dropping 4 of the first 6 games on their current road trip, the Tigers hit the final leg of their 9-contest excursion with tonight's opener of a 3-game series in Chicago against the White Sox. Detroit scored 16 runs in Friday's rout in Kansas City, but then managed just 2 markers in each of the next 2 contests, both losses. And that confounded manager Jim Leland.
A little bit unique in the sense that, you know, you get 26 hits Friday night and really don't muster much offense the next 2 days. Of course, you know, every pitcher is a new challenge, so you got to give them credit for that. And, you know, we got to beat 2 out of 3, simple as that.
Meanwhile, Robin Ventura's White Sox return home to the South Side after winning in Baltimore yesterday 4-2 to snap a 9-game losing streak.
Nobody likes losing, so I don't know if it takes any monkey off your back because the record still stinks. So, you know, you just go and you play for today, and you're trying to do things to win games. And, you know, we're seeing what young guys can do, and, you know, that's part of it.
It'll be a battle of pitching aces in tonight's series opener at U.S. Cellular Field, with the Tigers sending 19-game winner Max Scherzer to the mound against the Sox's Chris Sale. Broadcast time with Dan Dickerson and Jim Price on 1450 WHTC is at 7:45 p.m. The Cubs are back on the road this evening, beginning a 3-game series in Cincinnati. Travis Wood gets to start for Chicago against his former team, while the Reds counter with Bronson Arroyo. The Cubs lost at home to Milwaukee yesterday 3-1. NFL Monday Night Football action on 1450 WHTC comes after Tiger Baseball, as Philip Rivers and the Chargers welcome Houston to San Diego.
It's exciting. I mean, when you open kind of the last game of kickoff weekend, and, you know, it's we get to play at home, finally. You know, it's always seems like that game for us has always been on the road, either in Oakland or Kansas City. So to play at home, it'll be awesome.
Instead of gridiron football, we'll talk about association football. Hope College's women's team we'll be playing a match at Van Andel Stadium tonight because of unplayable field conditions in Albion due to storms that blew through the area overnight. So the MIAA opener between the Flying Dutch and the Lady Brits will be at 7 o'clock tonight at Van Andel Soccer Stadium. Holland's hometown forecast from WHTC.com calls for partly cloudy skies this afternoon, high 88. Mostly clear tonight, low 75. A few clouds pass by tomorrow, high 91. Then more clouds than sun on Wednesday, high 83. This news has been brought to you by Marsilia Insurance. Check them out online at yourhometownagency.com. I'm Gary Stevens for 1450 WHTC, Holland's hometown station.